Honourable members, and officials from the department, DG, with your team, I see that you are well armed today. We are ready to pull all the punches. Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Sorry, Chair. Is it after we have moaned that they've even got the deputy minister here? Or was it out of the feeling of responsibility? Just want to find out that. Thank you.
I'm sure the DG will comment there. But thanks for coming. Deputy Minister, thanks for being present. I'm sure you'll see a big smile from Honourable Van Dingen today.
Because I can get all the answers, thank you,
sir. Yeah. We'll start our meeting. Other members will join us. You know, at this time it's too busy. We have one subcommittee which supersedes all other committees these days, which is busy almost 24/7 in the NTOP. The Info Bill, so it takes away some of our members every now and then. And also, you know that we're going to be having an African Diaspora Summit. I myself personally was supposed to attend that meeting, but Honorable Adams will have to leave and attend that meeting, I think by 11 o'clock. Other issues will come. There are questions, DG, that have come to me. Thanks for the responses that you gave me. I saw some letters. I forwarded them all to honorable members. But you must know that I have a question about the project in KwaZulu-Natal. I see them from 2009. There are only three, the least attended province on projects. But we'll come to that. But all the information, to give this to the members. Members have also this information. But thanks, Dick, for even attending our strategic workshop. Always a pleasure. It was only a strategic workshop. I must say, DG, there was some sort of confusion whether to attend or what, whether it will be the same thing with this presentation. We always have a strategic plan workshop and just specific on certain issues. And coincidentally, Dick always attends those. We always have. I think we need to tidy up our communication with your parliamentarizing officer on issues. But still there are issues that I want to discuss with the DG even outside this meeting. One DDG was in the strategic workshop and I requested her to phone one in Nkosi. That hasn't happened. I still want to do a follow-up on that even today. I am Dumisani Gamete, and I was looking at all the faces that I know, all the faces, chair this committee. Let's introduce ourselves to the side for that.
Good morning. My name is Kupeka Mtileni. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning, Deputy Minister, CTN. Chair and officials, my name is Freddie Adams, representing the Western Cape.
Good morning, Maspo Godokhali, Limpopo Province.
Good morning, Deputy Minister. I'm Elza Van Dingen from the Eastern Cape, and we're sharing tools with Gauteng.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Bev Abraham from Gauteng.
Good morning. My name is Jomo Nyambi. I'm from Mpumalanga Province.
Good morning, my name is Abdullah Khalid, I'm the committee.
I'm our director, I'm a CMD.
That's for the bottom there. What do you actually do? You know, the details.
I am responsible for temperament management. The part of getting all the
morning, Trevor Bloom, Head of Communication.
Morning, Ralph Ackerman, Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning, Moronga Rantele, DDG for Domestic Tourism.
Good morning, Anami Milan, DDG for International Tourism Management.
I'm Kinsey Makwela, the Director General.
Good morning, Chair and Members. My name is Victor Tarage. I'm DDG responsible for policy and knowledge.
Morning, Chair, Honourable Members. Dirk van Schalkwyk, Chief Operations Officer.
Hey, my name is Toko Kasa, the Deputy Minister.
Good morning, my name is Ms. Adisen Mulobo from the Department. I'm the Assistant Director in Business Performance.
My name is Johan Durham, I'm the Parliamentary Officer.
Yeah, as you start your presentation, I don't know whether the DM would have some opening shots, but DG, as you start your presentation, you'll brief us on Indaba. Just a short briefing on Indaba. Just 3 minutes. DM, if you could open this discussion. And thanks that Honorable Bev, we are back. The two people that were injured in the march, you are not one of them. Thank you.
That means you said you don't meet with her.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. I won't take much of the time. Honorable members, thank you very much. Let me, right from the onset, indicate that we really are happy with the privilege of working with this team from the Select Committee and as the National Department of Tourism. I wish to point it upfront to say anytime the Select Committee requires our attention, we are there from all fronts, be it at the ministry level or at the departmental level. I think in strengthening communications, it would help so that we are all able to make that time available as and when we are required. Thank you very much. We are here, Chairperson and Honourable Members, to present our strategic plan as required. Just to highlight one or two points, because the Director General and the team will elaborate on all the areas. But to say, Chairperson, as we are seated here from the point of the new mandate of the department, the new Department of Tourism, we have since reviewed our strategy. We have we just completed our first year of the National Tourism Sector Strategy, and we have been implementing it. And as we are sitting here, there are two areas that I would wish to point to your attention to say, in terms of us growing tourism and ensuring that as part of the new growth path priorities, National Department of Tourism have seen it very important that there is special focus on international tourism and a special focus that is paid on domestic tourism. Hence, we hear the two DDGs here, and our reviewing has been very strategic to ensure that it also is very clear that there is no duplication with what South African Tourism is doing. So it's very clear what the National Department is doing versus what the South African Tourism is doing. The other issue, Chair, is we in fact it flows from the very same thing to say we have since restructured the department to be in line with the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which is what will be presented in terms of the details. There are areas where the strategy and areas that you have shown interest several times in our discussions on the SRI projects, the rural tourism strategy, and the heritage tourism strategy that we've since implemented. The presentation of the DG will capture on those. As well as sitting here, Chair, from the last financial year, we can report that we spent 98.3% of our budget, which we were looking at as meeting the requirements in terms of spend. And our vacancy rate is sitting from the 21% that we recorded earlier on, we dropped it down to about 9%. That's where we are standing. I will allow the DG to get into the presentation as well as reflecting on the Indaba of the last weekend. Thank you very much.
Yes, Honourable
Chair, with your permission, I heard what the Minister said and we are thankful for that. But it doesn't always seem, Minister, what you are saying works in practice where this committee is concerned with your department. For argument's sake, we have seen that our colleagues from the NA do have more privileges to this department than this committee has. And as far as we know, that each is scheduled for ministry and function. And it's always good to work closely with us as we represent problems in this regard. Will it be with invitations, will it be with some of the things that the department is doing, will it be with launching of the department's programs and that. The NA is always in the forefront, and Parliament consists of two houses, which is the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. So I just want to bring it to your attention that it's not always what you are saying to us here, it's not practically happening at some stage. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I request that instead of having the presentation, let the issue of how the select committee is treated be responded to as a separate matter. Then once we are done with it, so that we can be able to do justice, because normally the procedure is that we'll always say, no, it's an oversight, make sure that in future you are being considered, whatever. Without even talking of NA, how the select committee has been constantly excluded in strategic meetings that are supposed to empower us to be able to do our job in terms of representing the interests of provinces. So, Chairperson, let's give the department an opportunity to deal with that aspect as we have raised it, but let us not cloud it and make it part of the presentation. Let's deal with it so that we can be able to engage on it.
No, I'm sure the DG will be equal to the task. DG?
Thank you very much, Chair. I thought in your whatever program, you will indicate the apologies that we have. The minister is out of the country. I hope these apologies have been forwarded to the committee. That is why I am here alone today. I had to come in before the DG because often at times your launches or other programs are more of the ministry you know, with initiatives from the ministry, they would then be there to give us the support. So it comes from us, from our side. But the Chairperson, without really sitting to try and defend or do whatever, I think it's a matter that we need to look at both on our side and improve on the communication. But from an information point that I have received when we checked, because recently we got the concern even with the Indaba this last weekend to say there was indication that the portfolio, I mean the select committee has not been invited. And the information that the minister has and was reflecting on in our meeting just before the Indaba was that correspondences were sent to both committees inviting the committees to that. So, and when we discussed on the matter, the report that we received from the minister was that information is usually sent to both to inform or to, whether it is to inform or to invite the committees. Perhaps we may have to go back and look into our records, and if, I think without just perhaps throwing it here for the meeting, so that we just look at the verification. But I think it does not remove this sentiment that begins to say, this committee deals with the provinces, they would want to hear, they would want to participate. In programs, they must inform them, they may be invited into their programs, but I think we're noting that very seriously, it's something that begins to say, we want to find ways of working very closer so that we understand we also participate if there's room for participation in departmental programs. So for me, Chairperson, I would not wish that we allow the DG to really reflect on this, because I feel it is a matter that the ministry needs to handle with the select committee. Thank you very much.
Honorable Van Lingen, after that, Honorable Nyambi.
Chairperson, just one broken. Okay. Chairperson, I accept what the Deputy Minister is saying. I also accept what Honourable Nyambi is saying. But the two statements don't meet one another. The other thing is, the Deputy Minister said that communications went to the secretaries of both committees. Now, it must be produced. Otherwise, we can't address the matter with our staff on our side, which is your job, or the minister must do whatever has to be done on that side. But it's not the only program. Indaba is not the only program that's run. There are other programs too. There are other things that are being launched elsewhere in the country that we must also be part of, not because we want to be on a grading side, but because we really take a serious interest, because tourism numbers are down. We've got to look at this. Thank you.
Chair, I understand the explanation, but I still maintain that we have to get to the bottom of it. I was in another meeting where I asked, why are we always, as members, whether you join Parliament in 1994, whether you have joined it, whatever, yeah, they always give us a constitution. It's I ask that simple question, why they are giving us this thing, even if they know who to have it. Then the person who was assisting us, the minister who's in charge of the planning commission, Manuel, said, no, it's because they want us to be able at all times, because we're taking an oath basing it on the constitution, to defend and understand it. And it's not an overnight thing to understand it. The thing of select committees in the NCOP and the understanding of departments about parliament, the Indaba, not only the Indaba, any other forum, when they said parliament is represented, if ever you don't have people coming from the NCOP, you can't say you have parliament. Even if you can have the select committee, you don't have people coming from the NA, you can't say you have parliament. And it's a recurring thing. We're not addressing this thing for the first time. That is why, to some of us, it's very emotional, because you'll get to a meeting, they'll say, no, problem of communication, only to find that if you can go and check the records, with due respect, you might find that there was not even a single invitation sent to the select committee. And if ever it happens that our own officials, people that are supposed to handle the issue of invitations, has let us down, we have to get to the bottom of it so that it must not happen. And we'll apologize to the department and say, department, we're sorry. We're invited as a select committee. It's this person who has done this wrong. So we deal with that person so that it must not recur in future. But if ever we're going to brush it aside, we're going to have it for the next 3-4 years. It's not happening for the first time. Let's get to the bottom of it. If ever the invitation was given, we'll see the letter and we'll get to you, Chair, and deal with your office. If ever it's your office that is letting us down, we have to deal with you. Because in Mpumalanga, when they ask me about tourism, we know the department has done a lot of great things. But if we can't do that effective, efficient oversight, we don't have information, how are we expected to play our part? So let's get to the bottom of it. If it's you, Chair, we are going to deal with you.
Thanks for dealing with me. But you remember in my opening remarks, I said, there's something that we need to discuss even after this meeting. With the example of Indaba, Dick phoned on the spot when we had a strategic meeting because it was raised there. He phoned on the spot inquiring about this, that the NCOP knows nothing, has got no invitation. There was no response after that. But Dick did say they informed whoever you are speaking to. So we'll get to the bottom of this, I'm sure. But all I think that we need to do, that is why I'm saying I need to speak to the DG so that we sort out this issue. Members do have a feeling, a very strong feeling, that they're treated as stepchildren of Parliament. But that is why, precisely, if also it needs be that we speak to the ministry, we'll do that. But I believe the issue is administrative. That is why I want to speak to the DG. DG, are you comfortable, members? We'll talk this with the DG, and we'll sort it out. If we don't sort it out, you sort me out.
Yes, Chair, through you. Let's close it by understanding that it's not only you, it must be minuted, it's not only you speaking to the DG. We are going to speak to the DG, but as a committee, we want a report. We want to engage on the report that we are going to give to us as members of this committee. Not that we are going to speak and that's it.
I know the DG. When I speak with the DG, I'll be accompanied by my lieutenant, Honorable Adam. Yes, Adam.
Okay, if you don't get satisfactory answers, you talk to the deputy minister and report you as the DG.
Okay, Honorable DG, you've had some good opening and listening. It's your turn now.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and thanks to all the members of the committee. Chairperson, let me put it on record. The RSA department, we have a great deal of respect for our parliamentary institutions. You will recall in 2010, Chairperson, when we had an interaction with this committee, we identified some flaws in our system of reporting or responding to parliamentary questions. We then moved to say we would respond to all the questions that are asked by Parliament, and our response will be 100% within the time frame. And I'm really glad to say that no member of Parliament would stand up today and say, we've asked questions and you've never responded to that. We've responded to 100% of questions that have been raised. Having said that, I just want to take this issue that has been raised and to put the record straight to say, no, it's not true that we didn't invite the Select Committee. I'm in a position here of a letter written by our minister on the 15th of March this year, written to the chair, inviting actually. The first paragraph says, I would like to extend an official invitation to you and your committee for the annual Indaba held in Durban. That's the content of the letter sent on the 15th. There was an acknowledgement by Zoliso on the same day. An email was sent to the minister's office acknowledging receipt of the invitation. Now, I'm saying this as one example. There are a lot of activities that we undertake in the department. Each time we send an invitation, we do a draft to send an invitation to both houses in Parliament, to chairs of both houses in Parliament. For instance, we just launched the domestic tourism strategy. We did the same thing, send an invitation to both chairs and members of the committee. What I really don't know is that once these letters are sent, how do they factor to other members of the committee? Maybe it's an issue that ought to be solved within the committee. But there's no instance where we've invited the portfolio committee and we don't invite the select committee that I can vouch for. It has never happened. We always send this invitation to the two houses because we attach a great deal of importance in the two houses. Having said that, we do get information and requests that are coming from both houses, and we've responded to all of them. I'll be glad to learn that they are, and I'll rectify that if there was a particular instance that members would say, on this occasion, we did not receive anything. And we can then produce our documentary proof. I've always requested invitations to be done through the minister's office, and they've always done that consistently. And I do have this. I can, as members are saying, they want to see proof, it's here. Can circulate the invitation, the date on which it was sent, and the correspondence between the two offices. I think that's it in terms of the communication with offices. Is there a room for improvement? Maybe there is a room for improvement, and I'll be more than happy to learn if there are certain shortcomings on our system, and I'll give you an undertaking that will address those shortcomings if you so identify them from our part. Chair, I just want to say again, we have a great deal of respect for parliamentary institutions, and we take it very seriously, actually. We do whatever we can. Sometimes maybe our best is not good enough, but where our best is not good enough, it would be very good to get a good feedback, would address that. Chair, I thought that was the issue. You wanted us to go straight to the business of the day.
No. We in our court with our pants down. Who is Zoliso? Is it Zoliso?
Yeah, that is what I wanted to comment on. That is why I said we need to sort out our communication. Now, issues that pertain to the committee would normally go through the committee secretary. That's the one who deals with the parliamentarizing office and the ministry. That's how communication goes. Now, Zoliso is my personal PA. And I would hate to speak and to respond here, even in her absence. It's something I would need to check with her. But be that as it may, let us suppose that letter was sent on the 15th and acknowledged. What about, can we read something between the lines when in the strategic meeting we raise the same issue? You know, know, that is what we need to reconcile. Now, if that was in our attention, we raised it officially and opened in a strategic meeting, and DAG folded, which means there was lack of information somewhere. That is why I said we never got another information or response after that was raised.
May I see the other two finger here? We must understand what Indaba is all about. We must understand that Durban is packed. We must understand that there are no flights available. Nothing. We must understand that we were given tiniest notice. We must understand that we owe the department an apology. Because if somebody sends to my PA at the guest house at home a political message and she doesn't pass it on, I kill her or I fire her. But the point is, we must take responsibility. And she should have known that this is an official issue and she should have copied you on your personal email and also the committee secretary. And we must just take responsibility and then say we're sorry because I want to apologize to the department. And they gave us enough time when we raised the stuff in Franschhoek. It was too late already. There was no accommodation available, and we would not have made flights anyway. Thank you. Sorry. My sincere apologies.
I still maintain, Chair, that the meeting of yourself and the DG has to report to us. I'm one person who's hearing even the name Zoliswa for the first time. And we are saying to us, Zoliswa is your PA. I don't want to say the department is wrong. I don't want to say you are wrong. But I'm saying we have to get to the bottom of it. And what will make us to be able to get to the bottom of it is once we have had the meeting. And now, thanks DG, we have clarified the part of the invitation. Whether there is that acknowledgement, let me be upfront and say, let's say we have sent it. Chairperson is saying Zoliswa is a PA, and that message was not communicated. And I know that the secretary of the committee is a Mtileni. How you do things, because it will make us not to have meetings in the future where we'll spend 20, 30 minutes discussing these things. We'll be dealing with business of the day, getting to strat plan as we're supposed to be getting the presentation so that we can do justice when we engage. But have that meeting. After that meeting, you still have to come and explain to us so that we can be able to say, this is the possible way forward. That will make us to say, it's not a lip service to say you recognize all institutions of parliament, the houses of parliament.
No, Chair, I'm not going to be very long. I just want to thank the DG for the clarification. But, you know, I'm putting the Indaba one side. I'm talking about matters pertaining to provinces. I mean, there were two key issues the department had in the Western Cape. In a short space of time, the domestic tourism was an outbreak. The one in Wuppertal, the loans there, we had nothing. The rural tourism in Wuppertal. A journalist phoned me to ask, what's your response? I said, I can't give a response because I don't know anything. He says, but aren't you serving on the Committee of Tourism? I said, yes. Now, I mean, I had to juggle and twist the story there because the journalist's specific question was, don't you and the department work hand in hand? Doesn't the department inform the politicians what they are doing? So you see, Che, because, I mean, we participate at the NCOP in provincial legislatures. We participate with the MECs. We call the MECs as that as this committee. Even our provincial counterparts is this committee, as this committee of the NCOP. So, but we can't engage with them if we are not up to speed or if we are not informed. And we can't talk out of an uninformed position. So, thanks for the meeting that's going to be held, and thanks for the DG and for the minister, the deputy minister that has clarified, and deputy minister, don't worry, The minister is not here, you are here. It's good and well. It's the same status and standard that there is, and we thank you for making the time to attend the meeting. But we just want to be informed so that we can also speak, because we are not fighting the department. We need to go out there and protect and defend our government's programs. That is what we need to do. Thanks, Chair.
DM?
Thank you, Chair. I would also urge the Chair to find time to also meet with us as the politicians in the department, even before you then bring the report to the select committee. Because I think from the level of the politicians, we also need to cut our own understanding, and when we present a face that then deals with the situation. We would not wish to have our committee dealing with matters of this nature in future. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, I'm not so sure that I understand the statement made by the Deputy Minister. That he said that there will be a caucus meeting with the politicians before the meeting comes to the Select Committee. We are all members of political parties on the Select Committee. And these matters pertain and concerns us all. So if there is a report, it comes to all of us.
The minister never said political parties, he said politicians. Like Honorable Van Lingen doesn't see himself as a politician, that's a problem. But with all due respect, can we move on? We must not twist words around here. The minister said a meeting with all politicians. He didn't even mention the caucus. He said a meeting with politicians.
Honorable Nyambi?
Yeah, it's better for us to have the common understanding. It's more of a procedural matter. There's nothing wrong. We are a chairperson. They are politicians. All of us are politicians. But my understanding of the statement of the DM is that as this issue is not a very significant issue, but it's a very important issue that we have to attend to. So after getting the report, it will be in order to deal with people who are in charge of the strategic vision of the department before we can come here, because the whole purpose is to make sure that in future we don't have these problems. So it's more of a procedural issue than people being taken out of it. So there's nothing wrong with it.
Your status right now on our funding, are you on top or are you texting someone? DG, I think all the dust has settled now. You can drink some water and start the presentation.
Chair, thank you very much. With specific to Indaba, we usually do a detailed debrief together with South African Tourism after Indaba. We'll be doing this detailed debrief later on. But I can bring to you and to your members, Chair, that there have been a lot of critical activities that took place around Indaba. Yesterday, the Deputy Minister finalized the universal accessibility concept, and there was a good attendance and discussion on the issue that really deals with accessibility to some of our facilities by people who are having some level of disabilities, and to ensure that our infrastructure and tourism is user-friendly to everybody. The attendance there included people from the private sector and people from provincial governments and so on. There's always been a very great deal of interest around the whole concept of universal accessibility. Chair, we've raised this in the past as a department that actually there should be a better... Oh, sorry, it's off. That is
all
the problem, yeah. Can I carry on, Chair?
Maybe one put something in the main of food. It's Adam.
You didn't think I would do that, did you?
Now you understand why it was important for us to be part. We are taking another.
Now, there have been a lot of activities around it. We had KICA, which is always a hospitality, a conference that takes place. And it takes place on the margin of the tourism in Dava. At that meeting, the minister spoke about some of the issues that you may have read about them in the newspapers. There was a panel discussion around an assessment of destinations in South Africa. They were looking around the aviation. Now, there was a question raised, and the minister quoted IATA document that said OR Tambo is one of the most expensive airports around the world, which, given the fact that it's a long-haul destination, then it becomes very complicated. But later on, if you read the press, it gave the impression that the minister was basically taking APSA. But it was a discussion around how can we make our destination relevant. So you must have seen that in the process. Chair, we also had there was also the very specific media launch around the culture and heritage, and you have seen the inclusion of Johnny Clegg, who really graciously agreed to come and highlight this aspect of culture and heritage. Very good discussion around this, and later on, a media briefing by Johnny Clegg, which I think he raised some of the things actually that even our culture and heritage strategy within Winnipeg Jagu, he was looking purely from the musical point of view. And I mean, looking at Johnny Clegg, who I feel all of us are South African, and I think most of us can find some level of affinity with him as a person and the manner in which he communicates. So it was really useful from that point of view. The chair, as usual, took place during the opening ceremony. The strategic focus of the minister during the opening ceremony was basically to identify how is our industry doing and where are the challenges. And the emphasis of the minister, of course, was based on the fact that the global economy is a bit doomed, and despite that, we've been doing very well as a sector. And really to highlight the fact that we really need not to rest because we're doing well because of these global challenges we needed to emphasize. He spoke about the growth that we've been seeing in the recent past. And in this context, the minister was able to articulate some of the niche products that we are launching, the culture and heritage strategy, the rural tourism, and so those are issues that the minister was highlighting on, and basically indicated where we're coming from as an industry and where we are going. It was a very good attendance by ministers of tourism around the Sarek area. During the same period, the minister also signed two critical agreements. One agreement with Zimbabwe, the other one with Lesotho. The agreement with Lesotho essentially it allows us to work very closely with Lesotho in terms of aligning our own strategy. Remember, the Maluti drug is the route that really cuts across our border is one of the critical elements. One of the issues that we need to deal with Lesotho is the harmonization of standards. Work with them, how do we harmonize our standards? Because tourism moves from here to Lesotho. During our discussions with Lesotho in the past, there's been concern that the tour operators on our side of the border, they go to Lesotho, they don't even buy any food, they don't. So there's no level of empowerment that goes around there. So that essentially, in terms of the agreement, is allowed some of the things that we need to do together with Lesotho. They are quite open, working with us. I think they are going through the elections during the course of this month. So we'll see the new government is going to really commit in terms of the implementation. The challenge, of course, with all agreements here, it's good to sign, but it's something else to start the implementation. With Lesotho, we've had regular visits to Lesotho. Lesotho also asked our team to go and assist them in developing their budget rationale to get funding from their own treasurer about their tourism products. And we sent the team, and the minister was very grateful in that meeting and indicated to the minister that the team helped. They are now able to get funding in terms of the manner in which the rationale was crafted for them. I think from my team, I think these are the key issues. I don't know if I left some activities that took place during the Indaba. The team can add. Is there anything? You want to speak about the cat visa? Yeah, which the deputy minister said. You want to speak about this?
Maybe
Ben,
if you can concern regarding the levy paid to the cat visa. To say that the people who are registered, unfortunately, they don't claim back the money. To simply say there's no accredited training that is happening within the organization.
That's the most important thing
that
came out from the round team that was held over Saturday and Sunday.
I'm done on this one. I thought you wanted to
go straight to the business of the day,
Chair.
I'm not sure. Pardon? Maybe ask a little bit more clarity on the Tita Levy, because I'm not quite sure the establishments pay and then they don't claim the money back because they say there are no accredited training trainers or training facilities in the area, that's the one thing. I don't quite understand that. That means if I am in a particular area and there is no facility to do training, then I can claim the money back. That's how I understand it. The next point is the DG did not tell us about the agreement with Zimbabwe. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I'm going to put it off.
I think on the claim of the levy, simply say people don't need to report back because the only claim that wants to have submitted the annual training report. So we say people might be ready or willing to send the levy, but not interested to take it back. We say, if you take it back, please use it again for training.
Yeah, with all my time covered, I think we can continue with the presentation.
Thank you very much.
Do you want some responses?
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
He had an agreement with Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Maybe I was a bit biased towards the Lesotho because, you know, we have a policy framework that was developed some time ago to work with the Lesotho to assist them to get out of the least developed countries, and that's why I was very specific on other issues. Similarly, with Zimbabwe, this agreement it provides us a framework to interface with Zimbabwe to deal with issues that are basically related to tourism. From our point of view, we're looking at all the challenges that our investment is having, our tourism investment is very having around Zimbabwe. It provides a framework for dialogue between us and the Zimbabwean authorities, and there's a mechanism to regularly review the implementation of this MOU. And our view is that we'll use the MOU as a platform to deal with all the challenges or opportunities that are related to this. But Lesotho, it was a bit different because there are specific projects that we're dealing with. In Zimbabwe, there are no specific projects as such. Now, going to the business of the day, Chairperson, the Deputy Minister has already spoken about, and I think if you agree, Chair, with them to really request your indulgence that the different DDGs can take members through what will be happening in their specific area, and it will help members to understand who deals what with what within the department. But before we do that, there are two things that I thought I should speak to. These are the issues that have been raised by the Deputy Minister with respect to restructuring. I'm still worried that we're doing this off the record, Chair, but you know better than I do. With respect to restructuring, you will recall that we had, in the previous establishment, we had two branches. One was speaking about the supply, the other one about the demand, the tourism growth, and the tourism development. And when we were doing analysis in 2010, we realized that there were a lot of gaps. And then we started that process. You recall at that stage we came to the select committee to seek permission there to proceed with looking at our whole organizational structure. We've concluded this. And we decided that it would be very useful to change the basic mandate of the two branches to realign them with some strategies that Jeff will speak to you later on, where he introduces what really informs our organizational rationale. This is the branch international management and the branch domestic management. Let me start with the domestic management. The domestic management branch is going to deal with providing and working together with the provincial and local government. The current status quo now is very unpredictable. There's a lot of duplication between all the spheres of government. And this duplication, unfortunately, it hits into our pockets, all of us. We've done an assessment sometimes last year, and we came to a conclusion that all the three spheres of government is spending 3 billion rand in promotion tourism. And we ask ourselves a question, can we show anything for the 3 billion rand? Indeed, we can't. So that's why we thought if we develop a domestic branch that would assist in terms of realignment, that would deal with some of the challenges that were indicated. For instance, we've launched all the strategies, the cultural and heritage strategies, the domestic tourism, who would be a focal point to deal with. This branch will be responsible for this. This branch will also work with South African tourism in terms of ensuring there's a proper marketing of this product that we are launching, because it's one thing to launch products. It's something else to start marketing them and taking to more people, and that people can start to utilize it. And there's only time that we're going to see the value in terms of this product. The same branch would assist and work together with provinces and local government in developing coherent strategies to ensure that we minimize the question of duplication, but to ensure that we actually play in this game as a relay, that the starting team is as good as the team that is going to run the final race. That we are able to coordinate our activities much better. So we are so interdependent at all levels of government, but as long as we don't work together, it's creating a challenge. I can say without fear of any contradiction that if you go to some provincial government, there's not even a detailed strategy, even local government, there's a detailed strategy on tourism, what is that here. And because maybe they are really inundated, in some provincial governments, you find that tourism is relegated to the periphery. There's no better resourcing of the tourism. For instance, in the Buffalo municipality in the Eastern Cape, in the recent past, they shut down their tourism activities. And the question was, why did they come to such a conclusion? So we thought we could dialogue with them and try to ensure that in the process, we make them focus on what we need to do. But the big challenge is that we all go to international marketing events, local government, provincial government, and so on. We all go and market them. is it really necessary to do that, or can we better align our resources and ensure that the we might as abroad there's a better reflection of the countries that Africa not a specific area. Again, on policy issue, you find there are challenges. It's very interesting with the committee previous to that, for instance, if you go today to Kruger National Park, because it travels across different municipalities, and you find different bylaws in place in terms of levies. You go this side, you pay certain levies, you go the other side, is the other levies in the same program. So we thought that if we work together in terms of realigning the situation, we become a very attractive program. But the critical thing is to be able to develop concrete strategies and policies that we can, all of us at all levels of government, be able to support each other and ensure the implementation of this policy. That is what domestic branch essentially will be doing, and I think Murunga will take you through all those details. Now, there are a lot of activities that are taking place around the country. In the past, we had no focal points. But as long as those activities are taking place within the country, the domestic branch will be looking into that and developing the cohesion with different spheres of government design. The branch is national. Tourism branch, it has a lot. And I want to clarify one thing in this case, that the branch international is not a marketing entity like Saraki Tourism. It's a policy, it's a strategic policy unit that will be tasked with identifying what are the opportunities that are there. They will do detailed analysis about how are we competing with the rest of the world. They will work together with DECO in terms of our establishments abroad to ensure that they promote it. There's already the international relations strategy that the president in 2010 instructed a few ministries, including ourselves, to be party to that, to say, are we getting better value in terms of all the diplomatic missions that we have abroad, or can we better utilize them? Out of that, the strategy was developed, and we are part of that, and we are saying, and there's been an acceptance to help you about this, that our missions that are brought in must start to promote tourism as a component part of their activities. So this branch will look into that to ensure that they provide support for head office. We're not going to open any offices. They provide strategic policies. Now, as the president goes around the world, what is that he needs to do from the tourism point of view? So who will be making an input in terms of the presidential visits abroad and what we think the contribution should be from our point of view as tourism? This branch will also look into all the international organizations that we are members of, the UNWTO, the WTTT, the WTTT and other relevant organizations, to say, do we get better value out of this organization? Do we get better value out of this organization? What is that we need to advance? Because to advance our own agenda as a country, we realize we cannot only play in the domestic space. Now, it is postulated that with national tourism, by the end of this year, we're going to have 1 billion people traveling around the world. The question that we ask ourselves is that, what is our market share? And if we want to get a better share, what is that we need to do? So we're going to really look at countries that are doing well and look at why are they doing this thing together, then why can't we do that? So we'll have to look at both the policy framework, and where necessary, we're going to dialogue with Saraskian tourism in terms of marketing, because they will still be responsible for marketing. But this is essentially what these two branches are going to do. And remember, Chairperson, the Saraskian tourism, in terms of the act really establishing Saraskian tourism, sells out quite clearly that they have to market domestic and international tourism. They have to market domestic and international tourism. So they have the responsibility to market domestic tourism and international tourism. So they would come in this respect in terms of developing concrete marketing strategies. But the policy framework would coincide with us, because we understand that the policy framework, we are not the only department that is a monopoly to look into international policy. We have to speak to all road players, and there's the cluster system, that some of the issues can be factored there, and we can get better value in terms of our own organization. That is a rationale in terms of the organizational structure. Chair, if you agree, then we can then start to ask the DERC first to go through some of the details, and other DDGs can then come in. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to say the presentation is based on our strategic plan. So the first part I will run through and then we'll pass it because I think that's the normal part of the process of how we're dealing with that until we get to the meat of our presentation on what is our deliverable. Just to say the first part is dealing with what is our legislative mandate, which is basically the Tourism Act. And I think what is also important, the last thing to say is that we are also guided by the outcomes, and outcome 4, 7, and 11 is applicable to our department. Then the sector tourism sectors and priorities, which deliver policy and strategy, tourism growth and development, the demand side, tourism growth and development, the supply side, which deals with niche tourism and capacity building. Then the people development part, which deals with transformation, decent work, service excellence, and then the enablers for growth, which is the general tourism awareness among South Africans, the safety and security issues, the alcohol, transportation, careless, all those things that enable us to have a better tourism environment.
Okay. I think there's a loose wire in that. Thank you, Chair. Then the department has also identified all its priorities linked to all of the processes which talk to job creation, skills development, responsible tourism, expanding the tourism infrastructure, and how we're going to tap into that, what the government and the President and the Minister of Finance has announced, stakeholder coordination partnerships and growing the market, looking at both domestic and foreign. And I think that the details tapped on the domestic side for us to make sure that we do have an impact there. Then, in reviewing our mandate, we've looked at the department as a standalone department that has been created after the elections. We've reviewed of our mandate has taken effect of the election manifesto, the medium-term strategic framework, the 12 outcomes, the growth path, the national tourism sector strategy, the draft bill that is now in the final stages, what we would like that to address, and then the draft South African International Relations Strategy that was on the request of the President being in the development stage through the cluster system to sort of get all government departments, provincial, to talk the same language in our strategy, how we deal with the international relations. Ultimately, this has informed us where we want to go, so we've then reviewed our vision mission, we've then reviewed our functionality, how are we as a department going to address what is required from us, and then that has resulted ultimately in the redesign of the departmental structure. So the vision mission, Chair, I've also highlighted that at our workshop, so that has been amended, and then we've got performance values. Our values is linked in different areas. One is performance values, one is the people values, and then ultimately our new structure, as the DG has explained, has got the branch of the Office of the CEO, who's looking after the operational governance issues, branch international tourism management, domestic, and then the branch policy and knowledge services. Out of that, we then have to develop the departmental goals on the high level, which give us the strategic outcomes-orientated goals. The first one is to achieve good cooperative and cooperative governance. That talks more specifically to the COO branch, which give us a goal statement, and that is linked to outcome 12, an effective, efficient, and development-orientated public service and the empowerment fair, exclusive citizens. So, when we develop our strategic plans, we need to make sure that it's in compliance with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation and the Presidency of how we align ourselves in delivering on the outcomes. Then the next one is tourism priorities integrated with other sector departments, provinces, and local governments. That also talks to outcome 12. Improved impact of tourism on the livelihood of South Africans, which talks to outcome 4, decent employment through exclusive economic growth. This is also where the jobs part will fit in. Improve tourism sector research, information, and knowledge management. That also talks directly to outcome 4. Increase contribution of the tourism sector to inclusive economic growth. Outcome 4, improve levels of competitive and sustainability in the tourism industry. Outcome 4 and outcome 10. Although
Outcome 10, we are not participating for a link into that, because the outcome 10 is more linked in the environmental field. The strengthening regional and international cooperation and partnership, that's the outcome 11. What we've then done is that for us to address, we looked at organizational risk. So we've identified the organizational risk and what is the mitigation factor, and we as a department have now accepted our risk register for the next financial year for us to make sure that we can deliver on the goal and our key performance indicators addressing also the risks. So, Chair, I'm not going to go through the detail of the risk, but it's in the our strategic plan and on the presentation. We've developed it also in a high-level risk as per the different programs. So then we're going to get to the sort of the meat of the strategic plan, is what we will deliver on, linking to the goals and addressing the risk. To provide a strategic leadership, centralized administration, and executive support and corporate services. Again, the COO grants are more governance-orientated and is cross-cutting. So a lot of the deliverables in here is applicable across the whole department, that it's being fitted into this specific strategic outcome-orientated goal, achieve good corporate governance. So the first one is the compliance with governance performance and the risk management principles. Dealing with the risk assessment, and how we link into the performance environment in performing as a department. International integration and implementation support services, entity develop and implement it. This is where the MINMEC, MIPTEC, all those government processes will fall in. Cabinet will be part of this process. Percentage of vacancy rate, our baseline with the pressure from our Director General, we must achieve 5% by the end of the financial year, which is almost 4 to 5% lower than what is the average being given by the DPSA. Percentage of implementation of the work skill plan, 100% implementation of what we need to sort of do around work skills plans. Percentage implementation of the performance management development system, 100% compliance as far as all that prescription is concerned. Number of interventions on the HIV/AIDS employment, 4 interventions expected from us, percentage compliance on management of labor relations cases within the time frame, 100% compliance as far as prescription is concerned. A percentage of representativity, we've used the baseline on women with disability and black representation, and although the expectation on is 2% of disabilities as a department, we've got accepted concept to sort of grow that environment. We now almost at 3%, and for the next year, we would like to sort of enhance that to 4%. Percentage implementation of information technology, this is the normal compliance issue around our technology strategic plan and the implementation. As a new department, we've developed a master system plan, and we are implementing it over 3 years. So by the end of the 13-14 year, we would be 100% in compliance with the implementation of the master system plan. Then uptime of our network, maintained 79% and a maximum of 3% service time off. This is service delivery, so that we can make sure that our IT systems are fully operational for all employees to do their work. Percentage implementation of the annual implementation plan for the communication strategy. We develop a communication strategy with specific deliverables per quarter, which are in our APP, our annual performance plan, more spelled out, but 100% compliance as far as that's concerned. Percentage compliance of approved rolling out 3-year strategic and 1-year operational plan. That is as far as internal audit is concerned. So we've got a 1-year audit plan and a 3-year strategic plan approved by our audit committee and the Director General for us to sort of maintain a good impact on internal audit services. Then the corporate legal services, we've developed different frameworks for ourselves, which gives us standard of what we need to comply with. And as far as that is concerned, in case management, we need to comply 100% with the standards. Percentage compliance agreed service delivery standards in the case of contracts, that the turnaround time it's all sort of been addressed to sort of be effective and efficient. The percentage compliance with legislative programs of the department, whether it goes into the cabinet process or parliamentary process, and percentage of tourism complaints referred to the operating authorities. Now, in the new bill, there is a specific clause that will deal with complaints, and for us as a department to be a conduit, fitting that into the DTI, we've already created a key performance indicator for us to deliver on that. So if tourism complaints are coming into the department, that we've got a mechanism to deal with that into the DTI structure, who is responsible for dealing with complaints. Percentage compliance with financial supply chain, it's 100%. That's basically our PFMA Bible that tells us what we need to do and the compliance around that one. And then the percentage of procurement compliance. In the past, we work on percentages, while now with the Act that has been amended in December, there's a new criteria. So in this case, we need to comply with the BEE status levels 1 to 4 contributors, and that is 100% compliance as far as that's concerned. So this is program one, so I'm going to hand over now to Victor to deal with policy and knowledge management services.
Chair, before Victor goes, if you allow me just to indicate one thing that Derek left out, which I know it keeps on really bedeviling all of us in government. In the department, we've all complied with the declaration of our wealth or lack of wealth for some of us. So we have 100% compliance with that. So all the senior managers, they were submitted in writing, all of them. So I thought we should reflect on this, because I know a parliamentary question is coming. The answer is already given now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members. The branch previously was called Policy Research, Monitoring and Evaluation. Our stakeholders gave us feedback, and they said they just couldn't remember it. So they needed something that they could easily also remember, but still retaining the essence of what we actually do. So we are rebranded. We are Policy and Knowledge Services. So the research, monitoring, and evaluation part of the work that we were doing previously, still it's retained within Knowledge Services. Purpose overall, we are looking at supporting policy development and evaluation in the sector. We also do research and knowledge management within the sector. We do the promotion of the transformation of the industry and also responsible tourism. The two aspects, promotion of transformation and responsible tourism, are new to the program. In as far as monitoring and evaluation is concerned, what we intend to do, we have started with a state of tourism report that we intend to have on an annual basis. So that will be a focus in terms of MNE. We are also going to evaluate two specific areas, and one of those would be the ETAI Awards. The intention is to find out once they've won, and we are pleased to see, we saw at the Indaba that one of the winners of the previous ones has done very, very, very well subsequent to that, but perhaps there are lessons to learn from there in terms of how she's done it and so on, which could also assist others. The National Tourism Sector Strategy, we're in the implementation process now, and we have to have an annual report on that in terms of where are we. Are we getting closer? Are we experiencing challenges? What then do we do? And so on. We are working with South African Tourism, Statistics South Africa, the National Treasury, to look at how best can we forecast. Last year we were looking at the forecasting of the jobs that we said we want to reach in terms of the NTSS and what would it require and so on. We are now finalizing that process. We're using an existing model which now has actually been tweaked to allow for the needs of our sector with the National Treasury. And we will also be commencing with the process of developing forecasting model also for tourists. At the moment, the forecasting has been on arrivals, not necessarily on tourists, so we would like to actually get to that level. We do support the oversight responsibility for South African tourism, and in this regard, obviously, we go through the things that they would be doing, and also we do that with respect to the tourism enterprise partnership, but we do that in collaboration with the domestic branch from an SMME development perspective. In terms of policy development, we would like to look at, last year was a year of developing a number of policies that would support the implementation of the NTSs, but now we're saying, going forward, what are the ones that we feel really are critical? We want to review the ESA safety and awareness strategy that was actually done previously. We want to review that, look at the modalities, how is it working on the ground, and what needs to be strengthened and so on. We also want to look at developing some form of a policy watch where we are able to alert the sector, so to say, as and when there are developments, and these developments have got certain specific implications for them generally. We also want to look at, we have developed a budget structure which has already gone through the intergovernmental structures, and the accounting offices, the submitting of DGs, of DG with the HODs, have agreed to this, and which was also accepted by NINMEC. And this now gets to be submitted to National Treasury, where National Treasury then says, well, this is our currency. The purpose of this thing is to be able to say, what are, where are we spending the money? For instance, the issue that DG was talking to. Where are we spending our money, and which area may not necessarily have sufficient, and perhaps we're putting too much resources in something, and others are actually suffering. There is a program that we want to introduce, which is basically aimed at municipalities. The purpose of this is to try and have common skills, common capacity, so to say, across. And it would avoid a situation where municipalities just take officials from each other. We have an MOU with the Department of Home Affairs, which deals with tourist visas, amongst other issues. And this is something that we will be implementing in this current financial year. It supports, for instance, event-based visas. It supports frequent business travelers, and it supports group travel and those types of things. And they have a senior person on their side who has actually been dedicated to deal with this. And from our side also, DG has requested that I directly also work on the matter. So it's something that we will actually be focusing a lot more on. We also want to look at the state of air lift report. Which will give information about what is the current levels of capacity, is this in line with the airlift strategy overall, and so on and so forth. Other issues here are kind of administrative, but there are other issues such as an electronic stakeholder database, where we find that if we don't actually put this in place, from time to time, it becomes very difficult to update. You try to find the person says, no, I'm no longer in the country, or I'm no longer in the tourism sector, and so on and so forth. So that's something that we would like to actually address. We will be working also directly with the domestic tourism branch in terms of an electronic events calendar. The intention really is not to necessarily duplicate things that are being done by SAT. So the kind of events we're looking for are events that they are less known but with high potential. And they normally are not necessarily in the big cities. They are in rural areas and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of this, and we would like to actually bring this out so that people can actually get to know about it. The National Visitor Information Framework, there are a number of issues that it talks to, amongst others, working hours, common brand, and so on. The last MINMEC, which was last week, approved the brand. So we are now at a consultation phase with the owners of the visitor information centers, because some of them are actually privately owned, some are owned by government. So we'll be having those consultations with them, and then once we finish that particular process, we will then be in a position to also present it to the committee formally. This is what has been agreed upon by all the stakeholders. We are also looking at opening two information gateways. One will be air-based, and it will be at the OR Tambo International. And another one will be land-based, and it's going to be at the Bay Bridge border gate with Zimbabwe. This will be first point of contact when people come in, where they will find information with regards to the entire country. The current status quo, there's information about agro-learning at OR Tambo, there's information about how things are. But we would like those gateways to actually provide information about the country. The next aspect is on the professionalization of tourist guides. There is some evidence suggesting that cross-border tourist guiding and so on, and operators across the DG was talking just now about the case of Lesotho and so on. But what we want to do, we want to look at the feasibility of these cross-border services, whether they can be a proper harmonized system that we actually work together on, and we are able to say this is ultimately what could work, and then that would inform a possible framework that we can actually then use. We are saying that there is we are supposed to enforce the law when it comes to illegal guiding and so on and so forth. But the best way to actually go about it, which we are suggesting now, is that we should have a module that the law enforcement agencies, as they train people that are coming for training within those institutions, should also take that module into account. So you get a person who's going to be a traffic officer who already comes out knowing what to look out for to be able to identify that this person could be doing certain illegal practices and so on. We'll also be creating awareness about the whole process of guiding in terms of what is right, what is not, what the legal requirement is. We'll use different platforms, media, and so on and so forth. But most importantly, one thing we want to lift is that we want to look at the rules of engagement with the stakeholders in this regard. As a government department, we have a responsibility to reach out to the community of this country. But in terms of the people that are actually saying we represent this group or we represent that particular group, we have got to actually be very aware that indeed they have got that particular mandate at the end of the day. Because otherwise anybody can come to us and say, I'm representing this group and that group. So we want to have rules of engagement, and if they meet those rules of engagement, then we'll be able to carry the relationship forward with whichever particular group. In terms of research, we have 5 universities with which we have signed MOUs, and they are working very, very closely with us in terms of
our research agenda, which is informed by the needs that are in the National Tourism Sector Strategy. These universities are the University of Zululand, the University of Venda, the University of Pretoria, Cape Peninsula University of Technology, as well as the University of Johannesburg. Each of them has got some form of speciality related to tourism in its own right, and that those are the strengths that we were looking for, which we were able to take from there. In terms of the how do we disseminate this research, the minister has put together, and how we actually put it together. So the minister has assembled a team of experts in the research field, some from academia, some industry, and so on. And they are responsible for, they actually give, they serve as a quality assurance mechanism for all the researches that we actually do. And we are looking at a possible journal where the researches that would come out then will be published within it, so that they can actually, people can actually access it. In terms of the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment program, what we are looking at, there are two very critical areas. One is that we would like to have a report in terms of the state of the, but the other area that we are focusing on is the extent to which governments either spend or also governments disposal of certain assets, whether it was previously tourism related and then it then ended in private investment, the extent to which that has actually made a contribution to the whole transformation agenda. The last area, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is the promotion of responsible tourism best practices. In the previous year, Honorable Members, will be aware that the minimum standards were out, and we now need to actually implement that. Issues of getting certification and accreditation agencies and so on. The one special part about this is the universal accessibility, where we would like to focus on the implementation of the universal accessibility action plan. There was an intention on the part of the department not to go for yet another strategy, but to actually go straight into an action plan. This is supported by a broader stakeholder forum that comprises of departments that are directly involved, the Department of Transport, Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities, and so on. Other departments that are actually, other stakeholders that are actually there, amongst others, is the South African Disability Alliance, and all these people will actually be part of the process of this implementation. The Deputy Minister yesterday signed a declaration with these stakeholders that I'm talking about in terms of that level of commitment. But we are doing this with the grading council as well, because that is the tool that is actually going to assist us to see whether there is an uptake in terms of the things that we've talked about. Thank you.
As the presenter is coming up, my watch is saying 11:35. Unfortunately, we didn't time ourselves, and we had an issue to discuss first. So I don't know, maybe by 12, so that members engage, or somewhere around the DG, so that we could have some time for engagement. It's unfortunate that when you come into the floor to present and then
this issue is raised. I'm just being practical about it. We'll see how it goes.
Yes. I'll be quick. Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, Ian. I will be presenting on the International Tourism Management Branch, and as DG said, we are there to provide strategic, political and policy directions for the development of our tourism potential throughout the various regions of the world. In essence, what we want to do is we would like to understand all the countries in the world. We would also like to form these countries into what we call regions. And when we talk about regions, we are saying a grouping of countries where we think there would be a potential if you group the countries for tourism. So one of our deliverables for two of them is having an understanding of all the countries in the world and in which areas we can have them as regions where we can drive an increase in the number of tourist arrivals, that increase in the share of tourist arrivals to South Africa. Then, based on the analysis work that we will be doing, we would like, and based on the understanding that we will get from our missions abroad, we would like to develop a market intervention toolkit. Those would be containing different tools, which we can then use to drive our mandate of tourism development. We also have an indicator around the number of strategic interventions that is purely based on the analysis work that we will be doing and our understanding of the different countries in the world. We would then put in place strategic interventions to lift barriers and look at opportunities and potential throughout the different countries and the regions. We will then also assist our missions abroad. Part of the economic diplomacy function of our missions is the promotion of tourism, and through us having an understanding of what they need, we will be able to assist them on a more strategic level in driving the promotion of tourism. We have different agreements in place already, bilateral agreements. We would like to look at those and make sure that we honour, that we implement them. And we also want to drive strategically new agreements. All of this will then be based on the information and on the research that we will be doing. We also want to form a more strategic approach when we engage on a multi-sectoral level internationally so that we can drive the mandate and not only participate in the multilateral forum. Thank you, Chair. That's international tourism.
Good morning once more. I'm going to present on the domestic tourism. The purpose of the branch is to provide political policy and strategic direction for the development and growth of sustainable domestic tourism throughout the country. We are also going to come up with profiles for the 9 provinces. The main thing being to understand what is it that these provinces are offering. But at the same time, we are saying we cannot do everything within all the provinces equally. So we need to come up with what we call support packages for the two regions. The two regions being the Northern and the Southern. In the Northern region, we have Northwest, Limpopo, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and KZN. And in the South, it's 4 provinces, that is Northern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, as well as Free State. We are hoping that with these two packages, we'll be able to make sure that there is integration as well as collaboration or cooperation within the provinces. In terms of the EPWP, the Expanded Public Works Program, we are going to work on 50 projects in this current financial year, and the same will happen in the outer years. We have what we call national imperatives. Basically here we're talking about those programs that we are hosting nationally. we have the Tourism Career Expo, which is going to be happening within the Eastern Cape for the next coming 3 years. And this year it's going to happen at East London on the 29th and the 30th of September. We are also currently analyzing the curriculum within the high schools in order to be able to align what they are teaching the kids into what the enterprises are looking for, or the products out there. We are also capacitating the educators. We have educators who have not experienced what this field tourism is all about. So we would like to give them that opportunity through our private sector so that they are able to understand what is happening. So we will be holding seminars in provinces. We also have what we call Tourism Leadership Dialogue. We'll be having six annual this year, sorry, and two of these dialogues will be facilitated by the ministry. We are also having what we call service excellence. Already we have launched the standards. We'll be ensuring that we implement the service excellence requirements. And the same will be happening with the outer years as well. For us also to make sure that the service excellence is done across, we need to ensure that we have the campaigns within the companies or the private sector. In terms of what we call enterprise development through TEP, we are going to assist 530 rural enterprises this year, as well as the outer year of 2013-14. But the program or the contract is coming to an end in 2014-15, hence no implementation on that year, 2014-15. We are also going to mentor these enterprises, as well as link them up to markets, and at the same time ensure that the designated group are supported in terms of training, in terms of linking them to business, to markets, as well ensuring that the basics, like coming up with a website for their business is done. We are going to also train members or workers within these enterprises. And the number there is 3,250, the same with the years 2013-14. And so far, we have managed to support the creation of jobs amounting to 500 in the previous financial year. We are hoping to keep to that figure or add on it. In terms of the expanded public works program, in terms of the full-time equivalent jobs, for this year, for the past year, actually, we have exceeded the target. And for this current year, we are saying 5,054 jobs will be created. We are hoping we'll be able to exceed that as well, because with the incentive that we got from exceeding the previous target, we'll be able to add more jobs. That's in short in terms of the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, members. On the budget, the only new money that we received from National Treasury or the MTF went to SA Tourism, and that is for promoting Africa to South Africa. And we received over the MTF 50 million, 84 million, and 84 million over that period. If you look at our budget structure, I think it's already said that it has changed. You will see that administration, if we just focus on this financial year, receives 14% of the budget, policy and knowledge services 58%, which include the transfer to SA Tourism, international tourism 3%,
And then domestic tourism, which also then includes the SRI project, our social responsibility implementation, 25%. If you look at the economical classification, you will see that 13% of our budget goes to compensation for employees. Goods and services only 11%, and the majority is in France for payments, 75%. Over the MTF period, it increases from 9.36% and 5.67%. Individual programs, you can see that the corporate affairs and administration receives 59% of our budget, and then our office accommodation, 24 million or 12%. On the compensation part in administration, 50% of the budget goes to compensation of employees, and goods and services 48%. The growth over the MTF period 5.96% and 5.86%. Policy and knowledge services, as I said, the majority of the budget there goes to South African tourism, 96%. 753 million rand. The same, if you look at the economic classifications, the transfer payment is reduced 96%. Over the MTF period, 9.31% increase and a 5.41% increase. International, there you can also see the breakdown between the new sub-directorates. And the total budget is 46 million rand. Compensation of employees, the 25.7 million, 55%, and goods and services, 15.1 million, 32%. And the transfers and subsidies, that is our membership fees to the RETOSA and the UNWTO, which is 11% of the budget. Over the NTF period, it increases to 4.19% and a 5.85%. Domestic tourism, this is the one that Maromiram has just addressed, there we will see that the majority of the money goes to social responsibility implementation, 82% or 277 million. There is also a transfer payment to the strategic partners in tourism, which is our TED program, the 25 million, 7%. On compensation of employees, you can see that it is 11%, and when the transfers and subsidies, it's a majority, it's 80%, which is to the SRI projects. Over the MTF, 12.16% increase and a 6.12% increase. Thank you, Jim.
And so you're done, didn't you?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, thanks very much. Members, it will be your time now for questions of clarity. And just to say, DG, one reporter that the department needs being recognized as one of the communicators. Other departments were acknowledged to be accessible on that part. Maybe there will be some room of improvement on that. Maybe that is why we also have some, you know, challenges on this issue of communication. And to say that quite a number of things might change. The NCOP these days or these years is standing in its ground. We had in the past week the president answering questions in the NCOP for the first time since 1994. Because the NCOP moved and went to the constitution, as Honorable Nyami said. It was unconstitutional for the president not to answer questions. Another issue that is at stake is SONA, when we have a joint sitting, NSOP is raising an issue, not there when the SONA is being debated. So the number of issues, it's not only on certain departmental issues that the NSOP is raising quite some sharp issues. They'll be coming whether to the department or to anybody else. I've noticed Honorable Dikhale, Honorable Nyambi, and Honorable Bev is just briefing Honorable Ngun what was happening yesterday.
You.
Honorable Dikhale.
Thank you, Jefferson. I want to base my question under the domestic tourism. And I'm going to ask in my language because I know from the focus she'll understand me better. Can I go through or now? How do you project the 50 delivery Lankatona? Read Ravian or Maslos and Alu the Hale Womulich, Kauronil and I have Polish Mona. But that is a young or one of the names in the tourism. Or at least to the tour fellow by the Mola by the Ganyan of the Zen. Kiagore, the investigative by the Mola, but our investigative by the monster.
Yeah, when the DDG responds, she'll first interpret. Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome the presentation. It's quite a refreshing, DG, if you come here with your team and you are showing that you are really dedicated. It's very interesting and it's good. You have to keep that up. I find that to be very interesting. It's a reflection that you are not moving with the department, but you have a team that is doing a wonderful job. My first one, Chair, it's when we were touching the issue of what is happening in some provinces. I think it's high time that we have to take it as a department that there's going to be nothing about provinces without us, because we're the only house in terms of the constitution that is representing the very same interests of the provinces. And some of the questions that would be tempted to ask, or there won't be any need for us to ask if we're part of those very strategic forums where we are engaging. And it will make us to be able to assist you when dealing with provinces. So in program one, when dealing with the issue of the people from different sectors that you are going to be getting in the next financial year, with my specific focus to women, I think that they're doing a wonderful job. They have up to 54%. But I was worried that you are reflecting that in the next financial year, you want to maintain 50. Are you intending to reduce them instead of sticking to the 54 or even making them to be 70%? What's wrong with that? Then the second one, it's about the unfunded post. It's more than 100, and I haven't seen whether I missed it. I haven't seen a reflection when dealing with the budget. How are you going to deal with that? Because it's too much, and you have to have a way of how you're going to address that one. Then the other one, it's about, it's linked to the State of the Nation address by the President, dealing with this thing of filling of vacant posts. Well, if you can check that you were able to reduce it from 21% and now you're at 9%, that is good. And you are saying you want to reduce it up to 5%. It is really impossible to have a zero rate, because you'll have President coming reflecting that won't have funded posts that are vacant, that won't be filled, will be filling the department. Instead of us coming in when we are presenting your report later on and say you failed to deal with this target, is it not possible now to have a figure that will be very realistic? Because this thing of reducing, always reducing, can't we get rid of this thing that once we have posts that are funded, then we make sure that we have people. Instead of always maybe saying just cast skill, I don't know whether even in tourism that is applicable. Then the other one, it's about the programs. Don't you think is the need for a new program, or are you fine with the programs that you have?
as a department? Are you satisfied that if you check, there is a clear balance out of output and outcome performance targets given the programs that you have as a department? I want your comment on that one. The last question, Chair. DG, do you really see the department contributing to the delivery of the government objectives as reflected in your mandate? Linked to that, what's your comment about the targets that we have? Don't you think they are too many? So that we can be able, when we come back, when dealing with the annual report as members, not to be on a fishing expedition, but to make sure that we are really assisting you and we are dealing with the targets that you are presenting to us. Because if I look at them, we have to be able to say out of the four or five, but if we have too many of them, it's simple for us to shout and say we haven't done much yet, we have done a lot. Maybe it might be that we have a lot of targets. But it was a very good assisting, giving us a clear direction of where we are heading as a department. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'm concerned about the Skills Levy Act. No, not Levy Act, the Skills Levy, where people are contributing, but they are not claiming that. That is part of job creation, where we can actually assist with internship and training people. What can the department do to assist in the reclaiming of that levy? Because the extent that it must happen. And then also, in the international tourism, if you don't have a baseline, what is it that you actually benchmark yourself against? Because most of the whole presentation showed that there's no benchmark. So I'd just like to know how you actually benchmark yourself at the baseline. Then on EPWP, it's good to have exceeded already. We're in the middle of the year, and you've exceeded. How many of those jobs are sustainable and long-term? Because it's good we have the 5,000 people being employed, but at the end of the day, 5,000 are still unemployed, where we say we have exceeded. Thank you.
Are you on the train, Honourable Van Lien?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm so glad the DD addressed the AXA issue, because with Mr. Van Schalkwyk last time, I moaned about that. And thank you for taking it up. I'm not sure whether it came naturally or whether you had a finger in the pie, but thank you very much. What worries me is that it is very expensive, and then they, as you will remember, they built an airport in India, and they've also built one, if I'm not mistaken, in South America. I'm not sure. So, yeah. I haven't got a problem with people making profits, but because we're a long-haul destination, those are factors influencing us. The international tourism issue worries me. And although when one looks at the figures, you think, oh, but it's actually going very well. And I'm just asking, are we thinking out the box with our plans and policies to do something new to make sure that we can grow tourism internationally? I also noted the number in staff that the colleague Nyambi referred to. However, I do not believe that the department must be the employment office of the industry, but there must be partnerships with the private sector. And I'm coming to the program that you have, and I can't find it now, that you have with local municipalities, and that you're going to train them. That's slide number 28, Local Government Tourism Growth and Development Program. There are very few municipalities that actually invest in tourism. You get small municipalities that understand that tourism can only be an economic factor with agriculture in that particular rural area. like for instance in Babian, where they've got the cycle race through the Babian Kloof area, the greater. Then you get to Naizna. Naizna municipality invests. And because it's going so well, the products contribute. But when you get to other municipalities like Buffalo City, I don't know what we must do to make it work. And I thank you for the interns that you have placed, the 50 through the EPWP program. I think it's wonderful. But I don't know in this program for municipalities what you have in mind on the structure of how we're going to make tourism work in local government level. The municipalities that you have the MOUs with, I'm happy. I'm very happy. I want to ask, if any of those MOUs and research has any... are you doing research on the FET colleges also, that this one is presenting a tourism course and that one is presenting a tourism course and that one? And are they all on a par? And what are we doing on school level to promote tourism? Is it the right thing? I don't know whether it will be a subject to continue with afterwards and that you can sort of get a matric credit for it that gives you a better credit at university. And then the national minimum standard and responsible tourism. Is it actually working? Are we making a difference in that regard? Because it worries me that you get to certain areas and I don't know if municipalities take up their responsibility in the tourism industry. To say, you are an accredited tourism establishment and you may continue. And then nobody checks on you again, or there are what I call squatters in the field. And they just come and go during season, holiday season, and then they're gone again. And I think that needs one more. Oh, that's I've done that one on the Expanded Public Works Program. But I think we must think a little bit further. You know, there's a job fund that we can create a lot of jobs, and I think we must think in terms of using that job fund. And if I now said to you wage subsidy, everybody else's hair would also look like mine. But the issue is it's a big fund, and maybe we can use it in the tourism industry to make things work better. Is there a possibility? Has it been considered? And is it included in your program? Thank you, Chairperson.
I've got a lot of questions that have been asked. The issue of coordinated marketing, DG, will be honest with this issue. I thought maybe we'll get some progress this time. We raised this issue last year. It would be better if we can get some, you know, good progress on this issue, whether local, provincial, national governments, and other stakeholders. More especially, I know there is an interest from international relations, because you go marketing, it has got an impact on international relations. They are in one way or the other involved. Are you dealing with that? Now, Honorable Nyambi talked about the department priorities. What I wanted to check, even though there are many, are they in their order of priority? There are quite too many. If not, it would be better if you prioritize them so that we don't say this one now, that will speak to the, you know, key goals of the department. Now, you see, there was a term about co-sourcing of skills. Does it mean getting some consultants? And because we want to run away from consultants, and then you say co-sourcing.
and how does the department fare on this issue of consultants? Now, the MOU with Home Affairs are still also involved in international relations. I've got one example of PAP members. They say to us, South Africa wanted to host PAP, but we've got a problem when coming to South Africa, even for normal sitting. So I think this MOU should also involve international relations, because what they say is that most of them even come with their families just to talk. So it has got an impact because of the visas now and all that. If you could expand it. As a matter of interest, I was in Russia. I want to check how are things in or with Russia, since there is now a tourism person in Russia. How have you fared, Sam? At one stage, I was visited by a group from Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan. They had issues with South Africa about touring South Africa. You know, the group said at one stage they wanted to see the real cultural places in South Africa, and they booked at Kruger National Park. They didn't really feel that cultural thing. Can you do something about such things, that we actually, you know, put our cultural things on the top of the agenda? 50 projects on EPWP, is this spread provincially, intentionally, or it's on a first-come, first-served basis, so that KwaZulu-Natal is not left out when these projects take place? Same with the rural enterprises supported. The 5,000 jobs to be created, are they really those that are sustainable and permanent? Are you contributing to the figure that is the priority of government? Last but one issue is the issue of office accommodation. Once more, I'm defeated on this issue. 24 million, and I don't want to presume that it's for a year. Honestly, but I'll pursue it until I win it. Is it for lease? Oh, it's for other things, because I don't support this leasing thing. I believe the government will be there. I believe in owning these properties and so on. Do you have that plan to have just do away with the leases? Lastly, I did say in the press plan that we'll be having a summit or public hearing on tour operators, because we believe there's lack of transformation there. There's some monopoly there. So we want the department to be involved. We'll give you the date, I'm sure. It will be sent to the department. There are people that are known in this field, just like Thompson, Travel, who do everything now, you know. Even in boats, you find them, ships, everything you find them, book hotels, even though it's a package, but there is lack of transformation. So we're going to have some public hearings on that, and we'll keep it updated. I'm not sure the DG or DM would want to start first. Yeah, but then you introduce yourself first.
Thanks, Chair. Bafunani Mgweni from the Free State. I guess I appreciate the assistance in attending that meeting earlier on, as you know that you are chair of all trade in NCOP. So now, just one small question to ask. As said that we should also, what is the department doing to promote our culture as well? I just want to find that, you know, you go to US, go wherever. You never hear any South African music on the radio. I don't see any South African or outside other countries' culture on their TVs. We're in China for some time. We see that the TV that speak in Chinese, they've got their cultural issues. But come to South Africa, you listen to the radio station, Ikwekwezi, Kwala Kwala, SAFM, we're all playing Western music and the like. There and there you will find a slot for African music, to find a slot for easy in the music or music daily, whatever. But we don't promote South African music. What is the department doing in that issue? I don't mind the issue perhaps of communication, Department of Communication, but I think you play a role as far as culture. It's part of arts and consent, but the tourist attraction, I think it also plays a role as far as those issues are concerned. What is the department doing about preserving our culture, cultural music, radio stations playing at least a high percentage of our own cultural music and promoting our artists?
I don't know whether the DM would want to have a bite first.
Chair, let me start with the very last question and conceptually expand from there to give a broader understanding. Now, surely the preservation of the South African culture is not a mandate of the department. Is the responsibility of the Department of Arts and Culture. And they have relevant competences to protect all these cultural things that you may find. We come in with regard to the promotion of that. For instance, we would, as a department, encourage people to tour Robben Island, as an example. But the preservation of Robben Island does not reside with us. So we promote what is available in the country. That's where the question is, whether how music plays in the radio. I know it has been a bit of a discussion at one stage, even within radios, to say what percentage of South African music to play, but we were not involved in that. So that's something that we don't deal with. Yeah, let me go back to your first question about the IT and communication. You're quite right. Last week, we saw an adverse report in the newspaper about our IT system, how inaccessible it is. And what was written in the media, actually, it's factually true. We've since taken action within the department that we need to resolve this. Appropriate steps have been taken and this thing has been rectified. And once rectified, we thought we'd have the decency to go back to New Age and write to them and thank them for having identified a particular issue and give them assurance that we've attended that. We've agreed as a collective management that was a very useful feedback and we need to deal with it as such. We've given similar assurance to the minister that this is going to be attended. So that is it in terms of that. There was a question raised about what are we doing with tourism, this 50 tourism project that we are doing this year. And the question was specifically what would happen to areas like Mulegi and what would happen to the universities that are involved, that there's no universities from our area. No, there is one university from Limpopo. The University of Venda is part of this arrangement. And maybe Murungwa would come in on the 50 project, but let me just speak about this concept that Victor referred to about the relationship we develop with universities. And when dealing with this, I think it would also touch on the question of consultants that the chairperson raised. We've developed this framework with this five universities, essentially to assist us in developing capacity. We've realized that within the tourism sector, to get people who are trained is a very scarce thing. And in order to sustain this tourism sector as a key area, not for now, for the future, we need to interact with universities to start developing some level of intellectual capacity. We understand that as we train these people, all of them, we're not going to absorb them into the governmental sector. Some of them will go into the private sector. But if they go to the private sector, that's still better off because we are guaranteed that the private sector will be better capacitated with people who have a lot of knowledge in the area. We are also working with these universities to do some research. Instead of appointing consultants, they will do a lot of research for us within the academic field. So we'll use the papers that they are doing to feed into the department. And we've started a dialogue with them to say they should encourage their students to do research in certain areas, and we'll be really interacting also with the students to stimulate them, to say there's a need to do a research in these areas. And we're of the view that once students start doing research in these areas that we have, they would also have in mind that there is a possibility to get an employment after that if they specialize in these areas. So it's a long-term capacity building for the sector, and we're looking at the sector, not the department. And we are sure that if we train these people, some of them will keep on recruiting them into government. So we are agreeing that we would fund these universities to identify students who are very bright in these universities, but they have no potential to go on with postgraduate and so on. So they will assist them. And we would like also to get students who are doing doctoral research in the area. And once they do that, we are sure that we capacitate in the sector to have some level of better intellectual dialogue and discourse in the sector, which would help us in the long run. So this is the arrangement with the universities. We're not going to determine to them and tell them who and so on. We're going to be providing them with some funding. They'll be doing this research. They'll be doing this student, but it's a long-term thing. The benefits of that, we're not going to see them now. We're going to see them in the long run. That is essentially the purpose. But we try to balance universities and select rural and urban universities to ensure that as we move forward, there's better understanding of both dynamics, the rural and the urban, as they inform our own developmental needs as a country. So that is essentially the question of the universities, how they were selected. Now, if you were to ask me, are these the only universities now? I'm not sure. These are the universities that we're starting to work with. We'll see as time goes on. Chair, there's a question raised about the department priorities. If you look at those priorities, you can actually cluster all of them. You can cluster them around international tourism, domestic tourism, research and management. Those will be the three issues. To give you an example, if you speak about rural cultural and heritage tourism, they fall within the ambit of the domestic tourism. So there are other related issues. So we've tried to break down details of what we've been doing to allow many honorable members to have a better understanding of some of these activities. If you say they are too much, I don't think they are, having explained the cluster concept, and that they belong to different entities within the branch. We have essentially four branches which will be looking on into these issues on permanent basis. For instance, you look at issues around opportunities for youth and to increase investment in tourism. It speaks to where you increase its domestic, but we're trying to be very specific. I don't think there are many. We've just broken them down in details. Now, I want to address the question of vacancies. In terms of the public service, the requirement for all departments is to have 12% delta. It's 12%. It's a very dicey thing. I'm glad this issue is raised by our honorable members, because the requirement for every post that is vacant is that we should advertise it. And the window of advertisement is 6 weeks. But you see, you have a situation where internal candidates apply for the posts that are becoming vacant. And in most cases, you find internal candidates are very strong. Sometimes we make a deliberate effort to bring people even from outside, but they must compete, they must have necessary skills. But you're going to have that system where internal candidates sometimes are considered a certain number. So they vacate those posts they were occupying. They take the higher posts. So you end up with the net result of the same if you do that. And because of that rotation, each time you have this, you'd have the same challenge. Now, we are saying to ourselves, we set a target for ourselves last year that we can't work within 12%, we can do better than that. Now, we had a detailed discussion during our spread plan that we can't even work within 9%. We were to deal with 5%, it would be good. And we think we'll be able to attain 5%. But even if we attain 6%, it would be over and above what you're getting in almost every government department. But that's the target we've set ourselves. We've put systems to ensure that we adhere to that target. We've agreed as a collective management that each time there are posts that we need people to sit and do interviews, we'll give that a priority. So it's not a human resource responsibility to capacitate the organization, it's a management responsibility. So all these managers have the responsibility to ensure that, as opposed to relegating it to human resources and say you do that, because they will be inundated. So we looked at some organizational deficiencies that we could strengthen as we deal with that. That's why we came to a conclusion that 5% will be reasonable. But it will remain a challenge because you got to, there's no way you'd have 15 posts, you find that maybe you don't have an internal candidate because they understand the business very well. They will be better prepared. They will be highly competitive. So you'll take a certain number of them internal, and that's where the challenge comes from. Now, other questions my colleagues would come back with them. Let me deal with this thing. Maybe Anami would also add the question with respect to benchmarking of international tourism. It's a new branch. It has never been there. We're starting to benchmark it now. I think after this financial year, next year, we'd have a better understanding to say what are the issues, what were the challenges, and would have a better baseline to start dealing with this. As opposed to domestic tourism, you remember I said initially the two branches which used to be there, both the supply and demand, were dealing with similar issues. So this new branch deals with those issues. So they've been there. It's basically to strengthen and capacitate them and give them a focal point. Pardon me? 54-50 ratio. No, we are not going to reduce the ratio. Mind you, the constitution says the civil service must reflect the demographics of the South African society. Now, it doesn't matter whether you go, if you go high on the other one, it doesn't reflect the demography. It's a perverse approach. But we are saying that we have this number. At one stage, we took a decision as a collective management that we're going to reinforce certain posts for people with disabilities. And we look at the manner in which we are recruiting people with disabilities. Now, if you send an advert saying that you must have a driver's license, you must have that, quite clearly you are starting to exclude people with disabilities. So they won't be able to apply. But if you ring-fence a post targeting people with disability, you may have seen them in our advert lately. So we want to encourage that part of our community to apply. Similarly, when we think that we need we took a deliberate decision that we can't have all boys club as DDGs. So at one stage, we need to make a deliberate effort to recruit women. We advertise. And of course, during our selection process, we targeted women who are very much capable, and we're happy to balance that later on. Because if you do the usual thing, you're going to find the usual answer to say we couldn't find people, but we're not making an effort to reach out. Now that we have a good balance in terms of gender representation, at one stage it will be very crucial for us to actually start balancing that and looking at recruiting more maids to try to balance the whole work environment. So it's going to be very useful because you don't want at the same time to have all girls choir running the whole thing. But it doesn't work. No, it will not work. You'll be the first to come and condemn us and say it does not reflect the demographics of the country. Because the constitution is straightforward that it must reflect the demographics of the society. So in doing that, we're trying to manage that. But we are not going to try to deliberately reduce numbers. No, we're not going to do that. I think we're doing very well in terms of gender, and we don't want to regret. The other issues that my colleagues would come, the consultants, Shiloh, we're not using consultants anymore. We use consultants where we think it would be impossible for us to develop capacity. For instance, take now, we're going to use consultants now. We're going to look for consultants to look into our EPWP project. Sustainability of the building, the structures of the building, because we are realizing from projects that we've done over the years, they don't meet the building requirements. You get people who build, and then we'll go and look at them with naked eyes and we'll think that they've met all the requirements. So we're going to need engineers to do that. Do we need to employ them on a full-time basis? No, we can't. It's better if we get them to come and look at those projects. It's much cheaper for us to do that. So those are areas where we need consultants. But in terms of all the things that we do in the department, we do them in-house because we need to capacitate the state institutions. Some of the things we're going to be doing them. Or else we may as well start to outsource government to private sector then. But there must be some level of capacity that we develop deliberately within. That's why part of what Anami and the team are going to do in the international space is going to be doing detailed analysis about the behavior of countries, let's say countries like Germany, how much does the German government spend on their tourism, to promote their tourism? What are the policies that they develop to streamline their policies? How they become competitive? What are policies that we need to look at to be able to reach out to Germans or partner with them? So they are going to be doing that, and this requires detailed analysis because, as you know, policies change. Now in France, we have a new government. We don't know what are the policies of the new government in terms of it. So this unit will do analysis and say, this is what we've been receiving from France. This is how we've been interacting with the French. There's a new government. What are their policies? Where we don't understand, we're going to interact with DECO and ask DECO to verify some of those things. We'll also interact with this embassy in Pretoria to try to find out what are the policies of the new government in this and to get a better understanding so that we can better position ourselves to keep on getting results from this country. Russia, okay, I must confess, I had an invitation from the federal head of tourism in Russia to Russia this year, but it was really conflicting with some of the activities. I think Russia is one of the BRICS countries, so we develop a concrete strategy around the BRICS within the cluster system to say, how do we leverage the BRICS? DECO is running with that, and the tourism component will form part of that, looking at Russia, Brazil, and China, as to how we're going to manage that. I think there were other questions. My colleagues can come in. The accommodation, that will come to the accommodation, but I agree with you, Chair. This is the biggest problem of the manner in which we constructed our financial system. And ironically, our financial system came from the old exchequer system, which is the British one. And the British, when they were devising this exchequer thing, the Queen owned all the lands and the building. They are registered in the name of Her Majesty. And in the colonies, it was totally different, always outsourced. It's a huge challenge that we've tried. When I was in DECO, it took us years, actually, to convince the treasurer to allow us to go to the market and borrow money and build a building and use the money that we're supposed to pay for rental to service that debt. The building that DECO has, the PPP, and there's a debt on it, I think that it's still a huge challenge. I think it was DECO that really managed to do something at that scale. It's still a huge challenge. I mean, we've seen the police, they rent literally everything. And it has been there for years, and it has to do because of the regulations governing our treasury and our fiscal policies. It's better to pay something today. It doesn't matter how much it is. But if we were to take the same amount of money and use that to service the debt, would be a huge problem. I think that's one thing we need to sort out. Maybe this one is not something that ourselves can deal with it. Colleagues, there are other issues that were raised, the coordination of marketing and so on, and the FETs, I think colleagues would come. But the marketing thing, Chair, in 2010, when we said to South African Tourism as a department, we would like to see them developing a coherent domestic tourism strategy, they thought it was mission impossible. And the domestic strategy is there. It has been developed. We've said to South African Tourism now we need to see a coherent and comprehensive marketing strategy. They have a piecemeal. You may have seen some adverts now. I don't think you understood it came from South African Tourism. It says it's here. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're looking for, it's here. They're trying to do some adverts on marketing on domestic tourism. But we need a comprehensive strategy, and we have a meeting tomorrow with South African Tourism, the executive management of SAT and ourselves. We're going to be teasing out some of the details in terms of the marketing strategy that we can all of us evaluate and see if it makes an impact. If it doesn't, we can see what is it we need to do. The basis of tourism in any country is domestic. In China, 98% of their tourists is domestic. The Chinese were actually saying to us at one stage they don't need any foreign tourists anymore. They would like to work with it. The Americans, about 96% of the American tourism is domestic. So, and there's a reason for that, because each time there are turbulence in the international situation, it affects you if you are dependent on international arrival. And then you get your infrastructure really destroyed because there's no one who's coming to the country. Not because of bad policies in the country, but because the situation internationally is also different. So that's why we need to encourage this. If you look at the Chinese, the number of domestic tourism is 1.3 billion Chinese domestically, number of tourist, domestic tourist activities or visits made. We are standing now at 26 million. Now, it tells you a picture. You can argue and say the Chinese are 1.3 billion. It simply means that every Chinese is traveling. We are expected to be more than 50 million here, South Africans, and we have 26. It still tells you there's a gap that we can close in that respect. And the 26 million that is traveling domestically, if you look at their economic contribution, that is the biggest chunk of contribution. So if we were to increase that, it would help. And that's why you find all the strategies that we're trying to develop to stimulate domestic tourism. But it's not going to happen on its own. It's going to require a lot of concerted effort to market it particularly and to explain to people and to demystify it, to say to South Africans, all South Africans can travel and they have the capability to travel within the country. I'll ask my colleague to come on other issues, the skills levy arrangement with the home affairs and so on, other questions that have been raised here, and they can take them in any way that they want, if you agree. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I see the domestic expert wants to start first. But when you respond, please respond on this issue. Why was Runatal had only, not three, I was mistaken, it's not three projects, because the other one was in April. So it's two. It's also not two, because the other one was in February this year. So from 2009 up to 2012, only this project, one project was really done, expanded public.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the list that you have given, it's not true. That is in terms of the EPWP. Maybe to indicate that our program EPWP is throughout the country. All the provinces, they have projects. Added to that, our tourism enterprise program as well. There are projects throughout the country, and we've tapped the largest being in KZN. In terms of sustainability regarding the EPWP, it's a poverty alleviation project, we all know that. But what we need to also indicate, as a principle from this EPWP, 7% of the budget goes to training. 5% which is accredited, which means that when the worker or when the project ends, the workers will be having a certificate of some sort to say they are skilled to do 1, 2, 3. So they can either get more employment or maybe self-employed, depending on how entrepreneurial are the workers. The other thing that we felt we need to also look into in terms of coming up with long-term jobs is to make sure that once we have built the lodge or whatever infrastructure, immediately the owners of that entity must be able to start functioning. And out of, let's say, a lodge, you'll have those who do the laundry, you'll have the cooks, you'll have all a variety of people to work there. So we are really pushing towards that by indicating to the owners that from the onset, please tell us, how are you going to run this enterprise? By then, I think we will be able to make sure that we have long-lasting jobs. On the skills levy, the CAPSITA, we have signed an MOU with CAPSITA starting from this current financial year, stretching up to 2016. What we need to take note is that it's voluntary to register with CAPSITA. And they've indicated that most of the registered enterprises are SMMEs who are having workers between 1 and 49. And out of those who are registered, 53% have registered, but only 4.6 are able to come up with the skills plans as well as the annual report, so that they're able to claim back the money. We're hoping that with the MOU, we'll be able to go together with the private sector. What are the issues? Because the other thing is the tedious process of application forms and all these things, which in a way, as a business, you are not interested in the admin part of it, but to do other things. I think those are the two that I want to put on.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. There were two questions. One was the level of cooperation with DECO in relation to the Home Affairs MOU. We do have a very good working relationship, I should state, with DECO. The DG has alluded to the fact that the tourism is also part of the development of the broader international tourism strategy. However, in terms of the visa requirements, the specific department that has the responsibility for that coordination, issuance and making sure that on the other side there's availability of capacity to administer this, is the direct responsibility of the Department of Home Affairs. So as a result, we had discussions with the Department of Home Affairs, and these discussions were DG to DG level. The signing of this MOU is also at DG to DG level. The specific kind of support that we would like to... Should I proceed, Chair? Thank you. The specific kind of support that we'll be getting from Home Affairs is, amongst others, where we find that a business traveler has already built a good record of coming to the country in, out, then they are able to issue a long-term visa, almost an equivalent of what the Schengen arrangement. The third time you go in within a particular period, automatically then you're going to be issued with a long-term visa. So those are the kind of issues we're looking at. We're looking at working with operators, inbound operators, in cases where we've got a large contingent of people that is coming through. We are able to provide that information up front to Home Affairs to do a pre-screening. By the time they actually go and work directly to the service counters and so on, there's already knowledge of this group coming and so on, and we are able to get those people into the country. But we continue to cooperate with DECO, and I guess it does help that our DG comes from that environment as well, and we're working together with them. The second area, Honorable Chairperson and members, was the minimum standard for responsible tourism. There is progress that is being made. Yesterday, the Deputy Minister released the figures of UA, universal accessibility graded establishments that are actually going to be awarded. And this was a good figure. It's 800 establishments. And that's just the establishments themselves coming up and saying we would like to do this was quite significant. But what is more important here is that there is no additional fee that when you want to add these other elements that were not there in the old grading system, you would then have to pay. It's still the same fee that you used to pay previously, but you would then also be able to have this confirmation. The remainder of the establishments were also looked at, and they actually were given proper feedback in terms of what still needs to be done if they actually want to get a particular level of compliance. So there is some good progress in that regard, and there is a mechanism actually in place to be able to do the implementation. Thank you.
I think the DJ has addressed it. We are leasing, but the National Department of Public Works is the custodian of all leases. So we are paying Public Works, and Public Works are the... And then, just to add to what the DJ was saying about the consultants, the major amount on our budget is going to SITA, which is the State Information Technology Institution, which are established by Act, so we have to make use of them. When we reviewed our new establishment, the department's intention was for us to set up our own IT infrastructure, which were not approved by or recommended by the DPCSA. SITA also reporting to the Minister of DPCSA, so there's an accounting line as an entity. So we are required as government to make use of SITA for rendering our services, and those expenses are clustered under consultants. The same applies when we created the new department. We did not have an internal audit. This is something we are growing now. So there's still an agreement that KPMG is doing, is supporting us in internal audits, and that's a phase out approach over 3 years, which forms part of the consultancy. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just reflect on some of the issues, although others have been, I'll just edge on some that have been responded to. On the first one, on programs, whether these programs you think would be able to deliver on the mandate of the department, I would say, Chair, as far as we've tried to pull together what we can with what we have, we think this is a framework that seeks to look into how we deliver into the money, and annually as we would be sitting before the committee to feedback, I'm sure the committee would be in a position to see if we are really meeting on the mandate, and we also would have reviewed if our programs are not performing to what we thought they would perform. On the skills level, Jefferson, it's a little easier for us to be able to put everything together to ensure that in terms of the funds that we have and we allocate through our SRI projects, we are able to meet the criteria that we set ourselves. The revelation from the CAT SITA round table discussion was that, in fact, when it comes to the sector, the industry, there's a gap where it's more of a compliance issue that they claim back, they meet the requirement to have claimed back in terms of the money that is due to them that they would have forwarded in terms of the 5% for the skills levy. But the gap is that often they do it for compliance to ensure that they would have been seminars and stuff and record that something has happened, but there's no emphasis on accredited training. So the MOU that we've signed, we think it is going to pull all the role players in terms of tourism together so that we're able to ensure that all of us play our role, because we want to influence them to give employees more of accredited jobs so that they are able to also climb up the ladder in terms of the establishments they are in. So the MOU is going to assist us. We're saying we need to have a campaign because we are also concerned about the SMMEs, because that's the biggest chunk that does not claim back the money, which means there's no training that is happening at that level. So we took it upon ourselves to say through this MOU we have to find ways either to create that awareness and ensure that we are able to assist the SMMEs get that money and they are able to train the employees that are within their establishment. The other thing, Chair, in terms of schools and FET College, also the MOU is going to assist us because there's some work that has started already on the side of us working together with the CAD SITA. The National Tourism Careers Expo is one platform that we have that opens an opportunity to all, either your FET colleges, your schools, and educators, and the industry, looking into how we can improve on what we're doing in terms of tourism. So we still are taking that forward. The last thing I want to talk to is on the coordinated marketing. Today, we also have formalized our engagement at MINMAC level on the matter, Jefferson. I understand it's quite a complex matter. It doesn't only involve tourism, so we want to integrate what is happening, but also as tourism right up to the level of the provinces, we're able to really deliberate on the matter and provinces are able to fit into what we want to see in terms of coordinating our efforts and our resources. Thank you very much. Lastly, Chair, on the spread of the SRI project, Chair, much as we would have wished all of us to see a spread that would come to balancing, we also have tried as a department to ensure that there is provincial role that gets played by the provincial department to coordinate what comes, so that it comes up to the level of the province before it is filtered to the national department, to avoid people all flocking to the national department to submit applications, so that they are part of the provincial plans, they are part of the flowing from your municipal plans upwards. So trying to find ways to coordinate what we're doing. So perhaps as you also, Chair, are working with provinces, we need to create that awareness at provincial level that encourages the flow of this project, so that we also do not come up with parachuted projects to provinces that would not form part of their plan. At the same time, we know we have a responsibility to ensure that we pick up what needs to happen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've heard what the Minister has said and the DG, but you see, around the University of Limpopo, there is a big land there. If we count the traditional leaders that are living on that land, there are more than 12, and there is no tourism. That is why I was asking Sisimurunga Warna, is there anything that they can do in order to maybe make sure that we have tourism on that side, so that our people can at least have jobs? And I'm talking about the people who are very, very poor. They're so poor. Thank you.
From the end.
Hey, person, I don't know whether I was sleeping or... Sorry.
I thought it was not working. I don't know whether I was sleeping or not, but I didn't see that I've got a reply on the municipalities. But maybe we should do it later. I don't mind, because everybody is in a rush and the next meeting is at 1 o'clock. And then in this document, the Expanded Public Works Program, there's an item that says inactive. What does inactive mean? Does it mean the project has been terminated or it hasn't been completed? What's the status of an inactive project?
Yeah, thanks for that. I will respond to that. Thanks, DM, for that response, and DG, as soon as we move out of here, I'll also phone my Minister of Economic Development and Tourism and ask him about projects that come from the province, because they don't appear here. I'm still convinced, or I'm not convinced. From 2009, there are three projects that have been done. Even when Dirk was still acting as DG, I officially invited him. KwaZulu-Natal, in my constituency, unfortunately, he didn't have time. His time was short-lived to visit there. DG, people with disabilities do have driver's license. So don't be ashamed. They do drive. Those that have even said here in Syria, they've got some special training and they do get special driver's license. If you could specify that, then it would be far better. DG?
Check on the two questions that were left out. Let me come back to, you know, the EPWP project is always a thorny issue. And our view is that the EPWP project cannot and really should not be driven by the imperatives of constituencies, because tourism is not competency of every locality that we have in the country. In some areas, it will not work because tourists wouldn't go, because tourists want to go and look at something. And we must be able to package a whole host of issues. Now, it doesn't mean that every area in the country has the potential to attract tourism. It's not quite correct. But the level of attraction would vary from area to area. Some will be very low. And that's why when we look at the EPWP project, we're looking at them from the tourism point of view. If it doesn't make sense from the tourism point of view, we will not get involved in that because it's not going to be sustainable for them. And I've done a few tours in the recent past. And there are two projects as you drive out of Polokwane to on the N1 towards Makadu, both on the left and the right side of the project. These were nice chalets built, but they actually go chalets now. No one stays there. One of them was burned down recently, and so on. So it has to do with the sustainability. And the sustainability is a package, as Murunga said. It includes management. It includes a host of things. We're building this into the contract. But we want to look at the viability of projects as we do them. And we're going to be very open in terms of what makes economic sense. Would tourists be able to go there? It must be a serious assessment. And that's what we are doing. But it's going to be a challenge. I know you have your own pressures from your constituencies. But that's why we want to take this thing out of MPs. MPs cannot decide on projects. Once we do that, we're going to get lost in terms of this project. We should look at them from technical point of view, from the country's viability point of view, then it would make sense. It would be a better investment for all of us. The support for the local, Victor is running a project to provide support to municipalities, because a lot of municipalities, they deal with tourism. But they have no institutional capacity to do planning, to do strategic plan, to even start to package their own products. So what we are doing here in the department, Victor has been doing that. He will then be working with Murunga now that we have a new tourism focus thing, because Victor looks at the policy point of view. And Victor has been looking at the financing. Now the treasurer has agreed to provide some funding as long as there's a better understanding. They've been meeting with CFOs of some of these municipalities to look at the systems of governance that we're going to put in place. So it's something we will see, Chair. As we implement it during the course of this year, it's going to work out in detail. I don't know, Victor, if there's something that I left in that. Murunga maybe wants to say something on the project.
On the list, we indicate that a project is complete or is still active. Some of the active ones, we put them as active simply because we don't have the... They call it the closing report with all the ticks to say this is done, this is done, this is done. So some of them will remain active. Inactive, that's where we are having issues in terms of we are doing some investigation. And most of this we have, by the way, taken over from BID. So we are going to do an audit just to be able to clean out. What is it that is really completed, or what is it that we really need to make sure we take it further together with the provinces? And some of them are in the planning stage. I see those two, four of them in KZN, and we have been in the planning stage. They might become active.
Check. There are problematic projects. And we've done a forensic audit on four projects. Out of the four projects, there was a basis to lay criminal charges for fraud. We've laid criminal charges. I actually now I'm a bit worried because I spend most of my time with the police and with my management. And the investigation is with the Hawks. And I'm very happy that the Hawks, they have a very senior general who's overseeing this investigation. We've had a discussion with the DG of Justice to ensure that these cases are not lost. I've had my own discussion with the acting National Police Commissioner to ensure that the focus in terms of this investigation. Some of this investigation, they include huge sums of money. Our view is that there are some projects that I think would also do forensic investigation and would lay criminal charges for fraud. Now, I know and I've appealed to your other colleagues in the other committee, and I want to appeal to you. you went, invariably you went to get individuals who are under investigation, they will come to you as your MPs and say, we've been victimized, we've been this, no. If they are basis, I mean, I went to one project and I still think it's very criminal that a community that is so destitute and dependent on building the lodges that, and then people literally took the whole money, shared it amongst themselves. So we laid charges. There are criminal things that are coming up. There have been threats issued out to some of my staff members, and that's why I went to some of this project, because people were threatened, and we had to make it quite clear that we're not going to really be intimidated by thugs who are stealing the money. So we'll carry on with the investigation when necessary.
Thank you.
You. Now, thanks very much. And from our side, to prioritize and do projects, oversight on projects that are said to be active, underline said to be active. We'll start with those that have already classified as being inactive, we'll do them later. But thanks very much for this engagement. It shows that there are things that we still need to do. But DG, there's this issue that communities report to our constituency office about certain things. These things we take up with the department. So it's going to be very difficult not for us to raise issues that are raised by communities. Some of the community members even write letters. There's one department that is very good, I must say it to you, Department of Trade and Industry. They write, people write letters, we forward them to them, they act. That department is very good on that. Not because I partly chair it, but it's doing very well.
And Mr. Foreman, maybe you are an officer that chairs it.
That's excellent. That's 110% excellent. But thanks very much for the deliberations. We hope we'll meet next time. If you have some few minutes, DG would spend the time to connect. DM, thanks very much. Pass our thanks to the minister also, and all the officials that attended. I'm sure the committee is quite happy with their attendance. Dick knows that we raised a certain issue in the strategic plan. It has been raised for some time, so there had to come a time that we raised it. So, but thanks for responding to it. Thanks very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
I thought I'm toy. I like to have some toy.